Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this satsang, this Aspire radio program, is being recorded for Saturday, September 24th, 2016, and I'm very grateful to be with you in this venue. It seems that our radio program is growing and growing, and I'm very grateful for your interest and your questions that you put to me. And if you ever have a question, something you want to ask me, maybe something about your practice, your life, whatever, I'm honored, absolutely honored that you would come to the website at aspire.org. Go to the top of the page there. You will see media, and you click down. It'll say Satsang Suraj with Suraj. That be me. And you can email me from there if you like. I want to remind you that these radio programs, they're made not only with love, but they are supported with love from my sponsors, people who care enough to make a quarterly or monthly donation to keep airtime going and keep this radio program going. And I hope that some of you listening to me now, if you have benefited from the program, will be kind enough to become sponsors. We need sponsorship. It's very important. And I hope that you will decide to be one. You can go to the website at aspire.org, and you will see a little icon that says sponsorship. It's staring you right in the face under support, and you can sign up there. It would be very helpful. It would be very kind if you did. All your gifts, of course, are tax deductible. I do send receipts for your income taxes. And not only that, you get the message of the month, access to my podcast, video cast, and commentaries. And there are a slew of them. And you can download any of the Aspire TV program CDs. You know, the CDs we make, or I make for helping you to go more in-depth into each subject that I do. It's all there on aspire.org, and you can go and download them and listen to them if you like. They're interesting pieces of work, I think, and can be very helpful to your practice. Let's get to the subject for today. What can we know? Now, this is an interesting subject because people ask me, how do I know anything I know? And that's really a very interesting thought. How do I know? Well, let's look up the word in Webster's dictionary. To be aware through observation, inquiry, or information, according to Webster's. To be absolutely certain or sure about something. To have and develop a relationship. To have a good command of. To recognize. To be familiar or acquainted with. How do we know? Well, you know, this is, you know, I'm using this word again. This is something that is very tricky. If you want to see a really good movie sometime, go look at the movie The Man Who Knew Infinity. The Man Who Knew Infinity. It's an English film. It was produced, I think, in 2013 with a true story about a beautiful man in India who knew. He knew certain, shall we say, formulas and mathematical principles that made it possible, even today we use them, to understand the black hole, to understand the origins of our world, etc., etc. He's a very interesting man. The story is very interesting. Jeremy Irons is in this movie, and he does a spectacular job. But the reason I bring it up is because everyone kept asking him, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know? And they doubted him, but come to find out, his mathematical formulas were correct. And this beautiful Indian man had a very difficult time trying to explain how he knew. And as I sat there and I listened to him, and I realized that I was going through some of the same things he's going through, in the sense of people asking me how I know, I started gathering questions over the months and years of my radio and TV programs and the letters I've gotten. I keep a big stack of everything. And I chose three very interesting questions, I think, and I want to share them with you, and here we go. Greg from Greta in, where does she live? In Oregon. Greg, can I know what you know? Well, Greta, I don't want you to know what I know. I want you to know what you know. I want you to come to that place inside you where you have the direct experience of your own knowing, not Gregory Penn's knowing. I can share with you, and I do share with you on TV, radio, commentaries, podcasts, video casts, discourses, everything that I know. And over the years, a lot of what I have known has changed. I've gone from this to this to this. I am not interested in whether or not you're a personal success. I really don't care. I don't care if you drive a Rolls Royce or you drive a Yugo. I don't care. What I care about in you is the method and the mechanism you use to know. Now, how do we know anything? It all depends on the subject matter, people will say. But for me, it was a combination of many things. You asked me, Greta, Greg, can I know what you know? Yes, you can know what I know, and you can know more than I know. You can grow and expand. But I don't want you to think that this knowing is something intellectual, because it's not. The things I teach you are not intellectual concepts or precepts. It is not about a philosophy that I am teaching here. I am teaching about the heart. And should you come to the place where you go to your authentic heart, your spiritual heart, not the genetic heart that was passed down to you from forefather to forefather to forefather. Not that. That kind of knowing is intellectual, instinctual. No, I am talking about something that does not belong to the body, does not belong to our heritage. I am talking about something that lives eternal within you. The eternal causation of life. Now, how did this occur? How does this occur in any of us? How do we get this vast knowledge? We get it through meditation. The quieter you become, the less bound in genetics and pride and self-righteousness you are, the more you're willing to sacrifice for love. Sacrifice ego and pride, self-righteousness, very important qualities in human beings. The more profound will be your life. The more profound will be your heart. The more profound will be the love that lives within you. You will know things your mind cannot compute. And oftentimes, Greta, I say things I am not consciously knowing. It's not something that Greg knows. It's something beyond Greg. I don't fight with it. I don't talk about it much. I just let it be there and let it grow. You know the same things. You know things that your mind cannot accept, that your common thinking cannot logify or create some sort of reasoning about. You just know. This knowing is very important. To miss this kind of knowing is to miss a person's entire lifetime and the meaning of it. You already know what I know and more. Please don't pattern yourself after me. That would be very self-destructive to the means of which this broadcast and everything I do is all about. I want you to know your heart. I want you to know your being. I want you to know your essence. If you become meditative, if you start living in a meditative state, if you can bring joy and playfulness to your practice, you will know many things that you could not think before. These many things do not have to deal with the idea of thought, objects, people. My analytical mind is very limited. It's very small. My mind is always thinking in terms of right and wrong, good and bad, benefit and deficit. This is the way the mind thinks, only in two ways. It splits everything in half. It is dualistic by nature. And in this dualism, I lose my sense of consciousness. But when I'm no longer pitting one thing against another within me, I become, so to speak, an ebb and flow. I move with the rhythm of this world and this life, and it will help me immensely with everything that I do. So, can you know what I know? Hopefully, you'll know far more. And this is not a race. This is not a commodity, this knowing. This knowing is a state of being. It's the state of love. It's the state of humility and kindness. It is about a certain sense of awakening. Greta, thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a good question. People always think, well, you know more than I do, and you're the expert. You know, these kind of assumptions are not healthy for any of us. So I want you to understand that. This is what I call a grand experiment here. The next one comes from Teddy. He lives, in Florida. How can I know past what I think I know? Teddy, you asked the million-dollar question, and I was so pleased when I found this among my memoirs, as it were, of questions that people have asked me over the years. How can I know past what I think I know? The answer to your question is in your question, I think. Whenever I'm doing a Greg Penn, I think, then I don't know. So I always tell my students, this is a Greg Penn opinion based on no truth whatsoever. And then I ask them if they want the opinion. And if they don't, that's fine. If they do, that's fine. All we have there with Greg is educated guesses. You know what I mean? Assumptions, a few, logical ways of pitting one thought against another and coming up with some hokey pokey kind of answer. But that's not what I'm talking about here in knowing. You ask me, how can I know what I think I know? First of all, we must drop knowing. Just drop it. There is no knowing. I'm going to tell you something that most people won't tell you in this work. That the thing you've most learned recently that you think you know is now obsolete. So every time you think you know something, it's obsolete. The moment you know it, it's no good anymore. Why? Because it becomes the fabric of the mind, and the mind clings to it and makes an altar out of it and starts worshiping it and thinking that in terms of life itself, this is the ultimate knowledge. knowledge is always changing. The knowledge we had 10 years ago, 15 years ago, is not the knowledge we live by today. So if we're going to mature spiritually, we can't be clinging to the knowledge we think we know. In the past, in spiritual work, there were certain things that people, quote unquote, taught that they thought they knew. But as time went on, as progress went on in meditation, as people became more attentive to their meditations, awareness began. In this awareness, knowing that we know, or thinking that we know anything that we know, suddenly changed. Now that knowledge, that knowing, was obsolete. It was not a part of the continuum of growing spiritually, of growing inside of ourselves, maturing. So we lost that. We give that up for the next thing. And we start to progress in that way very slowly, but we progress. You will learn the most by being silent. You will learn the most by introducing energies into you, awakening to the energies that live within you. These are voiceless energies, energies that do not have a logical reasoning factor to them. They are just pure energy, and they are very loving. You are a matter of energy. You are not a matter of thought. And the reason we have such difficulties in our life is because we reduce ourselves down to the matter of thought itself. Thought cannot awaken me. Thought is provincial. Thought is domestic. Thought is obsolete. When you start meditating, you start realizing beyond your mind, things are introduced into you that your mind cannot hold, your thinking cannot absorb. Your being absorbs it. Your being is revealed. This being of us is love, pure, unadulterated love. And it pours into us as the fragrance of our entire life. It has always been there. Spiritual work is not about learning. It is about imbibing. It is about imbibing energies that we did not know we possessed. It is about imbibing energies we did not know existed. It is about imbibing. And the more we imbibe these energies, the more loving our life becomes. The more beautiful our life becomes. So, how can I know past what I think I know? Drop the dualistic thinking. Teddy, drop your dualistic thinking of good and bad and right and wrong. When you and I are no longer in that argument, when we are no longer in that dilemma, we become solidified in oneness. In this oneness, we pulsate. We migrate into a bigger picture of life, a much bigger picture. And we see things in the light of a love that is greater than our ambitions could ever show us. There is something about all of us that is very unique, very beautiful. This uniqueness and this beauty have to do with loving kindness and the constant of an energy that we call love, which is the life force of everything in this universe. So, you can know this. You can know things that are past your intellectual capacity, perceptions, beliefs. You can know. And the question is, will you allow yourself to know this to such a degree that you will allow yourself to forget what you think you think? And when I am willing to give up what I think, That is when I know what I know. And it has nothing to do with an argument or trying to bring what I know in contrast to what I think and going back and forth and back and forth in futility, because that is utter, utter futility. It is simply about knowing. I'm going to say this. You are a knowing. You are not a human being. You are a knowing. And you know what you know because you can't think what you know. Work on that in your meditations. Please forgive me. Namaste. Gregory. Okay, the last question is from Trudy. She does not tell me where she lives. Greg, do you believe that God is all-knowing? And if God is all-knowing, why doesn't he do something about all of this, Trudy? Trudy, I chose your question because it is by nature common among people. This idea of God, you know, is God all-knowing? I have no idea what God is, and I don't pretend to know anything about God. I don't know if you're talking about the God of the Bible or the God of philosophy. What God are we talking about here? I just feel the presence of something that is like a, what do I want to say, a mathematical equation where things just fit. Where there is evolution, where there is no convolution, there is evolution. In that evolution, I find the teachings of what Jesus said very true. God is love. Simple, unequivocal love. Just love. And I feel that presence of love, as you do, I'm sure, from time to time. We feel it. We can't explain it. But we deeply know it. Is God all-knowing? God must evolve too. If we are living in this universe, everything is a matter of evolution, not convolution. I convolute everything with Greg's ideas. Ideas of God, ideas of right and wrong, ideas, all these ideas that old Greg has, they're convoluting. They take this beautiful thing called life and reduce it down to pedestrian mentality. And that wouldn't be good for you or for whatever this is that is called a Greg. You've got to think in third person. Not in first person. If you think in third person, you'll get it. If you think in first person all the time, you'll miss. God is love. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know about this all-knowing. Now, this thing you have about why doesn't he do something? Well, the question is, why don't we do something? Why don't we do the love that is? What do you expect? This hand to come down from the sky and rearrange everything and fix things? I think that's what people want. You fix it. You do it. And it just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. This whole idea of God is a very painful one because we've blamed a lot of things on God. I don't want to even get involved in that in this discussion today, but we've blamed a lot of things on God that has nothing to do with God, has to do with Greg, has to do with, you know, Trudy. It has to do with the human beings that live here and how we interpret this whole thing. So don't blame God for this. We live in a system. We live in a law and a principle that is the life that governs this segment of the universe, this earthly segment. That's all I know. Cause and effect, as you sow, so shall you reap. Just a few of the little things that we live by. We don't know it, we don't appreciate it, but we do. And if you can understand that ever so slightly, it'll awaken you. Thank you, Trudy, for your kind question. If you have a comment or question or anything I can help you with, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org. Go to media, pull down media, and take a look at, yes, Satsang with Suraj. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Please? Namaste.